For coming. Now, before we begin tonight's class, just a special announcement. This week, Friday, is going to be Rosh Chodesh Av, and it's a month that needs a lot of blessing, and really a harsh month, and we need to bless that month and transform that month into a month of redemption, because that month has incredible redemptive qualities to it. And in order to help do that, when people get together and are inspired with a positive and powerful message of hope and emunah and trust in Hashem, so that brings about miraculous transformation. So, consistent with what we have been doing in the last few months, on Wednesday night, this is already preempting Rosh Chodesh, before Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh. Wednesday night, which is Thursday, is Erev Rosh Chodesh. We're going to be holding our fifth women's Rosh Chodesh gathering. And it's very special this time. I know I say that every time, but it is very special this time. The presenter is someone who's going to be presenting a talk. Her name is Mrs. Meira Reis. And many of you don't know her, but I know her very well. An extraordinary person, very accomplished, has done so much in her life. One of the things she's known for is she began a nationally acclaimed support center. She's a social worker, but began a support, a whole infrastructure for people that are suffering from IBD, which is Crohn's and colitis and other types of illness like that. But that's, you know, great accomplishment. But what is really special is she's got such an extraordinary story that she has never shared yet with the public, because it just happened very recently. And when she told me the story in this room, she came here to meet me and told me the story, literally my hair and my head stood up and I was crying. And I don't cry so fast all the time, especially when someone is telling me a story about their life. This was unbelievable. And I really think that every Jewish woman in Los Angeles should be here on Wednesday night to hear her story. It's a story of extraordinary, it'll give tremendous lift, uplifting message. It's just unbelievable. unbelievable. It's hard to believe that it happened, but it's a story, and again, it's going to be told for the first time here Wednesday night. So get in your car and come. Not only that, but instead of having to stand the next day on the phone all day telling everybody, you should have been there last night, you should have been there last night, get everybody into the car now, bring a bus, and bring all your friends here, because it's going to be very special. This is this Wednesday, July 18th for women. If you want to listen, it'll be on probably online the next day. Now, for tonight's class, there are two dedications I'd like to dedicate. One is a dedication from here at our center. This is a dedication from that I am doing for very good friends of ours, the Koch family, particularly for Mrs. Miriam Koch. This is in honor of her mother, who just passed away very sadly yesterday. So I want to honor her mother. It should be the l'schus for the merit of her mother, Batya Bas Shloma Halevi. May this be to the schus of her mother's neshama, Batya Bas Shloma Halevi. We don't talk of elevation of soul, being that the Levaya wasn't yet. And I don't know the restrictions of comfort, but there should only be good news from now on. The CD this week was sponsored by Bob Azizi, and for no apparent reason, other than he likes to do good things, so he sponsored the CD. For that, I thank him tremendously. And may Hashem bless him as well for no good reason. Meaning, even if there isn't any reason, may he be blessed with abundant blessings and all that he needs and all that he wants and beyond. Thank you very much. This week's Parsha is Parshas Matos and Masai. It's Shabbos Chazak. We conclude the book of Bamidbar. And so it's a Shabbos of Chizuk, of strengthening ourselves. And here's a try to find a little insight into this week's Parsha, which might seem to be minute, but it is really huge in terms of its message, in terms of its inspiration that it gives us. The Torah tells us a story of the war against the Midian. We discussed in the last few weeks, last week in particular, we discussed about what the Midianite women had done to the Jewish people and has brought about this terrible sin and the aftermath, the calamity of thousands of Jews perishing, the untold misery that came about through that. And here God says, interesting, you don't usually find such words in the Torah, but over here there is a call for revenge. Hashem says, take revenge from Midian. Whatever that means, we're not going to discuss that now. But there is, God says, take the revenge of the Jewish people from the Midianites for have done something so terrible. So the Jewish people are sent into battle. And the battle is, of course, with God's assistance. They have a spectacular victory. They destroyed all of Midian. And there wasn't even one Jew that died. No one perished. No one was killed in the battlefield. They came back. They counted all the men. And everybody was there. So that's a clear miracle. I mean, the other side was completely defeated. And over here, they had all of them came home from war. They came back and they brought back the spoils of war, because they took when they see when they came into the various different when they came into Jericho, God in Yericho, Hashem had given them specific instructions that they shouldn't touch the spoils. But over here there was no such a commandment, so they brought back the spoils. So there was lots of gold and silver and all of that the Torah goes on to discuss about the permissibility of being able to use these utensils for kashrus reasons, how it was used before, and the laws of dipping a new vessel into the mikveh when a Jew is going to use it, and extracting all whatever has absorbed in it being in a non-kosher home. So that the Torah gives the laws, which we call geule, the laws of kashering, making things kosher. When we kosher a kitchen, the laws are from this conquest of Midian. But then there is also the cattle that the Jewish people took. They came back with lots of cattle. So Hashem gives a special commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Elazar, who was the Kohen Gadol, that the Jewish people should do a count. They should count all of the cattle that they brought back. Again, they had lots of cattle. And they also had some human prisoners. Those women that were of a very young age were brought in together into this captivity. So it tells them to count exactly how many there were, and to divide the plunder, to divide the spoils between the army and the rest of the Jewish people. The military, those who went to war, they would get half of the entire booty, of the entire spoils, and the rest of the Jewish people would get the other half. Okay? Then it says that Hashem is requesting that they should give a special tax. They should give a special meches l'Hashem. They have a mitzvah now to separate from their allotted portions, from both portions. The portion that is going to go to the military men, they are going to take a certain amount of the animals and of the people that they've gotten, and they have to give it for the Kohanim. They have to give it to Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, and to the Kohanim. And from the other half that the Jewish people got, they're also going to take a certain percentage, and they're going to give it to the Levites. So what the Jewish people got was giving to the Levim, and what the military got from their half was given to the Kohanim. And the Torah tells us that the amount of the tax differed from the two halves. The portion that was given to the military, they had to give much less. The military, was their tax was much less. The amount that they needed to give was 1 out of 500. From every species, from every type of thing that they had, that they brought back lots of large cattle, which were like oxen or cows. So they had to give 1 out of every 500 had to be given for the tax to Hashem. The same is also from donkeys, from sheep, and from people. So 1 out of every 500 has to go as is given for Hashem. Then, from the other half, from the spoils that was given to the Jewish people at large, from that they were to take not 1 out of 500, but from that they are to take 1 out of 50. So the Jewish people really have to give 10 times the amount than the other half, the half the spoils that went to the military. So the military, first of all, got much more because much less people. But aside for getting more, because they were the ones who fought, they also get to keep most of it. And they only had to give 1 out of every 500 away. The other half, they got less because it was divided amongst all the rest of the camp, the rest of the Jewish people, and they had to give 1 out of 50. So now the Torah goes ahead, after it describes the general idea, the mitzvah, what needs to be done, how much needs to be given. The Torah says like this, Vayas Moshe ve'Elazar, this is in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, Pasuk 31, okay? Vayas Moshe ve'Elazar ha-Kohen, Moshe and Elazar ha-Kohen did, Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe, they did exactly that Moshe said. They counted up all the cattle and all the living beings that they took and the spoils, and they made this division. And then the Torah goes on to tell us exactly how many animals there were. So it says, "Vayhi amalkayach yaser habaz." So it was the spoils, that was taken, the remainder of the plunder, meaning aside for the gold and the silver that they took. This is the cattle that was part of the spoils that they took from Midian. So it says, it gives us the total. How much was it? Sheep, there were 675,000 sheep. Significant a number. Close to a million. Yeah? 670, close to three quarters of a million of sheep that they brought back. Then there was cattle, ubakar, and cattle meaning large animals, like I guess cows or oxen. Shnayim v'shivim olaf. 72,000 was the total amount. V'chamoirim, and then there were donkeys. Echad v'shishim olaf. 61,000 donkeys. That's quite a lot of donkeys. Then v'nefesh adam min anashim, and then from the people that were there, so there were no men that remained alive after this. It was just the women. And from the women that were there, only the young women, Shnayim Ushloishim Aleph, there were 32,000 that were there. Okay, so you had 32,000 people, and then 61,000 donkeys, and 72,000 large cattle, 675,000 sheep. Good, so now we know what the amount is. Then the Torah goes into continues and elaborates, and it tells us, now you have to divide it in half. So we took half of it, Vatiha Mechza, half of it goes to the military. So the Torah goes on to tell us the exact number of half. Well, take 675,000 and divide it into half. So it says the amount is 337,500. Yeah. 337,500, that's half. And then the Torah says, okay, if that's the amount that is half, now there has to be a 1 out of 500 that you give to the Kohanim. So how much do they give to the Kohanim? So from the sheep they gave 675 sheep. Exact number, 675 sheep was the total of the tax that the military is giving, because they're giving only 1 out of 500. Then it goes on to list the exact amount of the cattle, the half that went to the military, and the Torah tells us the exact amount of animals that they gave as a tax. The amount that they gave to the tax was 72. Okay. Then it tells the same thing about the donkeys and the same about people. So there's a very, very meticulous list of the exact numbers of exactly what happened. Then it says Moshe Rabbeinu took these people and the cattle and he gave it to Elazar. Then it turns around to the other side. Now on the other side, the half that goes to the Jewish people, how much was there? So it goes again and it lists us the number, the exact number that we had before, because it's just the other half. 337,500 is there on the other side. Exact number. That's it. And over here, the Torah just tells us, and then it goes, to, and then it's, and each one, it says the cattle, how many there were, how many donkeys there were on the other side. But the interesting thing is, over here, the Torah doesn't say how much the tax was. It says they took 1 out of 50, but it doesn't enumerate how many literal were there. When you took 1 out of 50, how many were there? Obviously, it's 10 times as much as which went on the other side. Okay, because there was one out of 500, and here it's 1 out of 50. This is the story. Okay, now the obvious question over here is, why does the Torah have to tell us this entire many, many verses? What difference does it make to know how many animals they took and what they... No. The mitzvah, we understand. It's an important mitzvah. Hashem wants to tell us what the mitzvah is. But the number of how many animals there were in total... Who cares? Why is that important for all generations and everybody to know about this? Like we find, and to make the question stronger, Jews just came back from another war. We learned it a few weeks ago. Jews went to war against the two giants of Sichon and Og. And over there, there was also a great spoils and a great plunder. And it doesn't say a word about how much they brought back. So how come over here the Torah does say it? No, that's a simple question. Just yesterday we learned about another war where we don't know anything about how much money the Jews made in the war, how much came back, how much cattle they got. And over here, suddenly, the Torah feels it important to tell us how much. We might argue and say, well, it's not exactly the same because there was no special mitzvah to do with it. Here there is a special mitzvah, so the Torah is telling us the details. But it's not important to know the amount for the mitzvah. It's important to know what the mitzvah was. Give out of 1 out of 500, 1 out of 50. That's important. But not the accurate amount. Who cares how much? Even if we're going to come up with a reason that the Torah does want us to have that information of how large and how many animals there were, for whatever reason, why does the Torah have to tell us how much half was? If it tells you this is the amount, if there are 61,000 donkeys,
And it says divide it into two halves. So we will know that there is so many on this side, 30,500 on this side, and 30,500 on this side. Anybody who wants to calculate and do the math will do the math. So why does the Torah have to tell it to us? And in such detail, it goes through each one. Half was so many. And not only that, not only doesn't stop over here, but it continues to tell us, since we have to give 1 out of 500, you know how much it was, 1 out of 500? It came out to be so many sheep, so many cattle, 72 large oxen. This seems to be all superfluous, all extra without it. If for whatever reason the Torah does really, really want to tell us all these details, how come it omits the last detail? Everything it tells us. It tells us how many there were in all. It tells us how many were there in this half and how many were there in this half. It tells us how much the tax was from the military. But it stops short to tell us how many the tax were from the ordinary, from the rest of the machna of the Jewish people. So if you learn Chumash a little carefully, this really jumps out at you. Like, why? Why tell us at all? And then if you... So the Mefarshim, the commentators, deal with this, and some want to suggest various different suggestions. The Ramban, Nachmanides, offers his explanation. He's bothered by the question. He says the reason why the Torah tells us this entire story is because the Torah wants to tell us of an extraordinary miracle that happened. A miracle. What is the miracle? Since it's a miracle, we have to know. Hashem provided a miracle. What's the miracle? He said, you know, from when they went to war until they went and they came back from war. And I'm sure it's not the first thing they did was counting the donkeys. They had to say hello to their families. Everybody was happy. Everybody was home, safe, and whatever else they were doing. Then they had to kasher all the other things. And then after all of this, they're talking about what are they going to do with the animals and the like. Okay? Then they have to count. Now, there's a total of 840,000 animals, living beings, including the people. There is a total of 840, close to a million. It takes a long time to count. Animals are not easy to count because they run around, right? So you're busy counting. This could have taken a few weeks. I don't know how long it took. Maybe definitely a week or so. And then they had to go and divide it. And then they had to, right? So it's a period of time that passed, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. On a farm, animals die quite frequently. Especially when the animals are now being relocated and they're taken out of the farms and a war went on and they're just being schlepped around over here. So we would make probably that one or two, some animals would have died. So Nachmanides says, the reason why the Torah gives us the exact numbers of how much was taken and then the exact numbers of after they divided it and how much they gave to the Kohanim and they gave to the Levim is to tell us a miracle that at the very end, there wasn't one missing animal. Everything, no animals died. That's the miracle, and that's why the Torah tells it to us. So, it's a good answer, but there's two questions here. First of all, if it's so important to tell us then that they how much they gave in the end, so how come the Torah doesn't say how much was given from the Jewish people? It only says how much was given from the military. It doesn't say the exact number. Again, that last detail he doesn't answer. The other question is, why does God do such a miracle? Why did Hashem perform a miracle when Hashem usually doesn't like to meddle with nature? He likes to leave things as they are. And if it's natural for animals to die, then that was going to happen. Why, dafk over here, is there this big miracle that God does and it keeps the animals alive? If we're going to say because God was caring about the money of the Jewish people, we don't find anywhere else that Hashem is doing miracles to keep, to change nature so that people don't lose any money. I mean, explicitly. And if Hashem wants to make sure that people wouldn't lose any money, then Hashem has other ways to make sure that their bottom amount in the bank would be so and so. He doesn't have to keep the animals alive. This whole thing seems to be an unnecessary miracle. So maybe we can have another explanation. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh, whose yahrzeit I think was last week, the Orach Chaim says, he gives his explanation. He says the reason why the Torah gives all the detail and the detail of the detail is because the Torah wants to teach us how the tax should be given. Because if we wouldn't know the numbers, then we might make a mistake in the calculation of the tax. Because it says do 1 out of 500. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you take 500 animals, you count 1, 2, right, till you get 500, and then the 501 like we have a program 501, right? The 501st program. I mean, oh, program. The 501st. I'm coming. The 501st animal was the one that was given as a tax, or is it they count 499 and the 500th is the tax is part of the 500? So we wouldn't know which way it is. But now that the Torah gives us the amount, we know that it was the latter way. It wasn't 500 and then the 501. It was the tax was included in the amount. That's what we see from here. That's why the Torah gets down to the nitty-gritty detail. Now, that's a good explanation. The interesting thing is Rashi makes no mention of the entire question. Doesn't seem to notice the question. Doesn't seem to ask. Doesn't seem to give any commentary on this. So it would seem like Rashi, in Rashi's mind, felt that this is simple, there's no question over here. No one should be bothered why the Torah tells us all these numbers and all these lists, because you will understand it on your own. So it has to be a very, very simple answer. Now some Mefarshim want to say another thing. They want to say, just to answer one part of the question, one part of the question. How come after the Torah lists the first half to the military, and it tells you the tax? Again, the order of the Torah is it tells you first the total amount, then it goes to the side of the military. It tells us they got half, tells us the amount of the half. Then it tells us, enumerates in detail, 1 out of 500 in each type of animal, all the way down. And after the Torah is done with that, it says, and the Jewish people got the other half. How much? It tells us again this the other half. Well, if it's half, then we know, right? So on that question, some of Farshim want to say that Rashi is pointing to answer that, because on the pasuk that says, Umimachtzis b'nei Yisrael asher chatza Moshe, and from the half of the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside, min anashim atzovim, vatihi mechtza se'eda, and half was so and so, Rashi adds two strange words. Vatihi mechtza se'eda, he seems to be giving a very ambiguous comment. Vatihi mechtza se'eda, kach v'kach. The half of the rest of the assembly was so-and-so. Wow. Rashi is really adding to us something over here that we wouldn't know. What is Rashi saying here? The half, what that's what the pasuk is saying. 337,000. It says that. Rashi says, and the half was so-and-so. So-and-so, yeah, so-and-so. Rashi took the time to write, kach v'kach. So they say the reason why Rashi says so-and-so is to answer that question. Rashi wants to say that the reason the Torah tells us the amount over here is not because we need that information. Of course we don't need that information. We just know how, we just learned how much half was. Half over there and half over here. So that it would be redundant. The reason why the Torah says it, it's a parenthetical thing. The Torah is saying like this. Vatihi, it was from the half of the Jewish people. That came out to be so many. How from that Moshe took 1 out of 50. Again, don't read it as the Torah saying, I'm going to teach you now something you don't know. I'm going to tell you that the half was this amount. No, that we would know because we know how much that half is. When we know that the Torah is saying, Rashi wants to say, the Torah is just saying parenthetically. Now what? The amount that from the half that the Jewish people got, that came out to be so and so, Moshe took 50. So it's a parenthetical statement. And that's why Rashi says, kach v'kach, meaning the amount that was so and so, Rashi's giving you the tune. The you shouldn't read it the amount of so and so, but rather, the amount that was so and so, right, the tune, that it's all just in a parenthetical, then the Torah says, this is what you should do. That's their explanation, the Re'eim, the Mizrahi, the Maskil David. Many commentators on the Rashi say that's what Rashi wants to say. Okay? The problem is, it's a parenthetical detail that was totally unnecessary. So even as a parenthetical thing, why do we have to know that? Okay? So pretty good question. So to answer this, the answer is so simple. Very simple. What's the answer? If we wouldn't have a list of the numbers of exactly how many animals there were, we would be totally confused with a simple question. And dafka, if you're thinking on the most simplest of levels, if you're thinking like a little boy when you're learning, If you're thinking like, you know, more quickly processing information, you wouldn't notice this question. But if you're thinking just very simply as a child, okay, you're thinking, and you're imagining the story. You're imagining the story. Okay, Jews go to war and they're fighting, and now they're collecting all the animals from the farms. Okay, so they're all coming back with lots of cattle and donkeys and sheep and things, and they're coming back. This whole now, how many cattle is there going to be? How many sheep are there going to be? I mean, all kinds of numbers are going to be, whatever, random, very random. Very unlikely that the numbers that you're going to come out with are going to be perfect numbers that you're going to be able to divide to the exact, to be divisible by 550. Right? It's going to be whatever number it's going to be. 3,967 sheep. Or the Torah says you should take one out of every 500. One out of every 50. And obviously, if the Torah would have not said anything, it would have said, Hashem gave the commandment, divide it in half, take and give from here one out of 500, give from here one out of 50, and it would have said, Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly what Hashem said. Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly what Hashem said. Then what? The question would be, wait, hold it. How many animals were there? It's very unlikely that all animals, the sheep, the donkeys, the cattle, and the people, came out to be an exact number in which you that is divisible in 500 and a divisible in 50. So why are you going to come to the conclusion? There must have been a remainder. There must have been in every group, there must have been some animals that did not make up to the 50 or did not make up to the 500 that you should be able to take one more and give it as part of the tax. So you will ask the question and say, so what did they do with the remainings? The remaining animals were not taxed. So what do you do? And the Torah doesn't say anything what to do with the remainder. But that would be a question. So in order that we shouldn't have that question, the Torah tells us the exact amount of animals that there were there. Why? Because when you take these numbers and you take out a little calculator, because my head doesn't have a math cup, so but you take out a calculator and you start calculating them and dividing them first in half. And then you'll see that every single one of these numbers is precisely a number that can be divided in 500 and be divided in 50. So it comes out to you precision with perfect accuracy. So the Torah wants to teach you that this is what happened over here. Very, very, now we're going to say, is this a miracle? Is this a miracle that God did that the number of the animals, which would have been random, any amount, should come out to the exact precise requirements of the mitzvah? A miracle like Avram not being burnt when he was thrown into the furnace, it's not. It's not one of those miracles like blood turning into, like water turning into blood. But it's, you see the hand of God. There's something, Hashem orchestrated it to be this way. And that's why the Torah wants to tell you. The Torah wants to tell you this idea. You should not, this is what happened. Something very special happened. That they were able to, that it came out to be numbers, and that's why the Torah has to tell you everything. It's how much they were, and it has to tell you how much the tax is, so that you get, the Torah does the math for you, so you should realize this. Say, hey, look at this, isn't this cool? It came out exactly the amount that is specified for the mitzvah, so they should be able to do the mitzvah. But now you'll ask a question. We asked earlier, God doesn't do miracles in vain. Why did Hashem perform this miracle? Or not going to say miracle, why did he do this? Why did God take the extra effort to work it out, in such a particular way that it should come out in such an accurate way? It should work out so perfectly. And the answer is, take if you look in the Pasuk, after Hashem gives the general mitzvah that you should take one out of 50 and you should take one out of 500, we find that the Torah repeats one detail, interesting thing, which tells us, which gives us insight into the manner and what Hashem really wanted. Okay? After it says you should take the amount of, again, it says in Pasuk, Chav Zayin, it says, V'chatzisa samal koach, you should divide the spoils, bein toifsei al-mochama, between those who went to war, or bein kol ha'edah, between the rest of the people. You should take a tax from these people, you should take 500, from these people, you should take 50. But look what it says. It says like this, after it completes saying the instructions, it repeats over again, Mimach tzisam tikachu, from their halves you should take, v'nasata le'lazar ha'kohen, and you should give it to Lazar ha'kohen. Again, it repeats unnecessary words. From their halves, you should take and give it to Allah. What's the repetition? What does it have to say? From their halves, you should take. Seems to be an action. Could have just said, and give it to Allah. That's it. So this teaches us something that Hashem wanted. Not just you should take one out of every 500, one out of 50. Hashem wanted that the entire half, the entire spoils, should be elevated. The entire spoils should be taxed. There shouldn't be anything that is sticking out from this taxation. So, because Hashem wants mimachtzisa from their half. If there would be remainder animals that don't add up to 50 or don't add up to 500, then there would be part of the spoils that did not get taxed. Hashem wanted everything to be taxed. That is why Hashem made this miracle, or Hashem made this to work out so perfectly that the tax should cover exactly, and there should be to the button, the exact amount of animals that is needed in order that they should be able to take the 50, in order that they should be able to take the 500, perfectly. Perfectly, 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 down to the last animal. Now, so again, this explains, let's go through this. What does this explain? This explains the general need for the Torah to talk about the amount of animals and the tax. What it does not explain yet is why the Torah has to tell us the other half, the half of the Jewish people. Because once you know the half on this side, and you know the full amount, then you know the half, and that you know that it works out to be one out of 500, and one out, so then you don't have to know on the other side that it's how much is the other half. So obviously we need a little more to dig one step further. And that is the reason why the Torah continues to elaborate how much the Jewish people got, the rest of the camp, is for the reason as follows. Mentioned earlier, from when they went to war, when they came back with all the animals, until they were able to make this count, until they were able to make the division, until they were able to do all these things, like Nachmanides says, some animals should have died. Now, if one animal would have died, one, and instead of 61,000, we would have had 60,999 animals, that would mean that on one side, first they would take half of the military and they would get the exact amount, but then when they're putting the other half to the other side, there is a group that only has 49 and not the 50th. It would have set the whole amount into imbalance. The Torah wants to teach you, not only was there such precision that the amounts of the animals that the Jewish people took in the spoils worked out to accommodate the mitzvah to give the amount, but a miracle, Hashem did another, or as we said, something extremely unique, that he kept all the animals alive, and we're talking about close to 1 million cattle, kept them all alive during the time, so that even after they finish splitting and they give everyone to this side, when they looked at the other side, it was the exact same amount. That means not one animal died. Because in order for the halves to be equal, there couldn't be one couldn't die. If one would have died, it would have not been equal. And then you could not have been done the mitzvah on the other side. That's why the Torah goes on to tell us how much the amount was on the other side. And now we understand why Rashi is saying kach v'kach. It's not a parenthetical. The Torah is not teaching you this parenthetically. No. It's not teaching you this parenthetically. The Torah is teaching you this intentionally. The Torah is saying, without me telling you, you wouldn't know how much is the number on the other side. Because maybe during this whole time of processing and counting and dividing, it didn't equal on the other side the same amount. So the Torah says, Rashi says, kach v'kach, this is the amount. This is really what they had. You wouldn't know it without me telling you. Now you know how much it is, exactly the same amount. Once we know that already, now we'll understand why the Torah omits the last detail. Why does the Torah omit the last detail? because once we know that the second side's half matched the first side's half, now we're ready. We can all, and then now we all know. Count, take 1 out of 50. Do the math on your own. You can figure out how much is 1 out of 50. Here, there's no special need for the Torah to tell you how many was the tax that came 1 out of 50. Because what more information are you getting? You want to know how much? You're curious? Sit down with a pen and pen, paper and figure out. You know, the Torah doesn't have to do the math for you. Up till now, all the other countings were important for us, for the Torah to point out of the extraordinary element over here. Number one, the amounts were accurate that were divisible in 500 and a 50. Number two, I also have to know how much was the half on the other side. Why? So that we should know that none of the animals died. And Hashem wants us to realize that. Two extraordinary things happened. Perfect amount, no animals died during a long duration of time. And why? But the last part is just a mathematical calculation. Do it on your own. There's nothing there to add, so the Torah leaves out that last detail. It's really interesting. Now, this is all pshat. I'll repeat, just in pshat. According to the study of halacha, there's another interesting difference of why the Torah says it on one side and it doesn't say it on the other side. And in a moment from now, we're going to try to draw out a phenomenal lesson from this whole thing. Just bear with me for a moment. According to halacha, there's another reason why the Torah only counted the amount of tax on the side of the military and not the amount of the tax on the side of the Jewish people. And that is, there is a sefer from the Baal Halachos Gedolos, from the early, from the Rishonim, and he counts mitzvahs. He does, you know, because we know the 613 mitzvahs. So he counts and enumerates what are the 613. In his count of the 613 commandments, he counts the mitzvah of giving the spoils of Midian, the taking the tax from the spoils of Midian, as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Okay? Rambam, Maimonides, argues with him. And Rambam says, this is not a mitzvah you can count. Why? Because it just happened once in history. It's not an ongoing thing. How can you? A mitzvah is something that is commanded to the Jewish people. This only happened once in our history. We can't count. That's Rambam's argument. Nachmanides, Ramban, comes in the defense of the Baal Halachos Gedolos, and he says, no, that he held, the reason why he does count it is because he did hold that this is an ongoing mitzvah. You, Rambam says it was a one-time mitzvah. The Halachos Gedolos holds that this is the Bahag, that this is an ongoing mitzvah for all generations. How can it be for all generations? We don't fight Midianites every day. And the answer is, it doesn't apply only to Midian. It applies to any war. When Jews go to war and they come back with spoils, they're supposed to divide it like this, and then they're supposed to give a tax. This is an ongoing mitzvah. So the later Acharonim, various different, are wondering on Nachmanides' answer. They say, how can you say that this is an ongoing mitzvah? It's stated clearly in Gemara Masechtas Menachos, on Daf Ayin Zayin, I think it is, where the Gemara says over there that this tax was not applicable for generations. It was a one-time thing. It was not applicable for all generations. So one of the great rabbis, called the Noida B'Yehuda, in his responsa, comes to answer this as just an interesting idea. He says that even though you're right, the Gemara says this is not an ongoing mitzvah that goes to future generations, but that's only referring to the tax that comes from the part of the people that don't go to war. The part of the people that don't go to war is not an ongoing mitzvah. But the part of the people that do go to war, the military's tax, that is an ongoing mitzvah, applies to all wars. That's his calculation, and he derives it from various different things. That's his final halachic verdict. Based on this, we understand why the Torah enumerates the amounts only by the military and not by the rest of the Jewish people, according to halacha, is because this is an ongoing mitzvah. So over here, it's important to know the details. This was a one-time event that happened then. It's not ongoing, and therefore we don't have to know. That's just a halachic idea. Back to what we were talking about before, we see something really extraordinary. Let's understand something over here. God wanted the Jewish people to do a mitzvah. And the mitzvah had its accurate requirements. It has to be 1 out of 50 and a 1 out of 500. And Hashem says, I want everything taxed. I don't want one animal. I don't want one person or one aspect of this entire spoils to be sticking out and not be under the umbrella of the tax. Okay? What does God do for that? He assures that this will be the amount. But let's understand, how does one assure that this is going to be the amount? That means God was for 50, 60 years before this whole event happened, when Jews were still way back then in Egypt, Hashem was very meticulously orchestrating the birth rate of the animals in Midian. Think about that. He was there deciding exactly which farm, how many animals, how many donkeys are going to be born here, how many. Because he's got to have it to the day. The day the war is going to end, there has to be a number that is going to work out to be 61,000 and then 675,000, all the numbers, because it has to work out to divide in 50 and into 500. So Hashem is already taking care. Now, not only is he controlling the birth rate of the animals, he's also controlling the business dealings of all the farmers. Okay, so they're trading animals, they're selling, they're buying, and they're selling. And Hashem is taking all this into account, and he's rolling this whole Midianite economy perfectly for one purpose. The entire Midianite economy is being run for who knows how many years to work out that when Jews are going to need to do a mitzvah, they are going to have the means of doing the mitzvah. Because again, if one thing was off, then the whole mitzvah would not be able to be performed lehidur in the way Hashem wanted it. This is an extraordinary teaching. How much Hashem enjoys our mitzvahs, how much Hashem wants our mitzvahs, and how much he's going to get involved to make sure that we should be able to do it. What's the lesson? Many of us have various different difficulties with certain mitzvahs, and we don't know, you know, if we have the capabilities, if we're able to, if we can, and there are obstacles. And we know it's a right thing to do, we know we want to do, but we look ahead and we say, I should do so and so, it's the good thing. You know, it's so difficult because there's so many things that are not working out, or they could, and therefore, why even bother? I need so many things to work out in the end, and who says I'm going to be able to do it? And sometimes we're dissuaded from doing something good because we're worried about that we're not going to be able to do it. For instance, I'll give a simple example. Now it's the summer, and many people have to enroll their children in school, and tuition is very expensive. And many people are thinking, Gavald, you know, I'm never going to be able to pay. And the school doesn't want to, they're giving me a deal already. But even this, what they're giving me, I can't afford this. Now, there's no greater mitzvah than giving your children a Jewish education. Some people might think, you know what, if I can't afford a Jewish education, I'll just send my kids to public school. So I'm not going to send them to school. So here is where Hashem is turning over the entire American economy to give you your money that you need on the day. You might not have it today, you might not know tomorrow, but when the day comes, the day you're going to need it, it's going to be there. If you have just simple faith, and you say to Hashem, Hashem, I want to do your mitzvah, I want to give my child a Jewish education, and this is very expensive, but I'm relying on you that you're going to make it. I hope the schools don't listen to this when they're going to calculate my tuition for the year. But, the idea is, we all understand this, that we shouldn't have fear. We should know that Hashem is going to be there. He's going to take care of us. Even if we don't see how now, even if it doesn't make sense, if Hashem was controlling for many, many years before it happened, all the details of the farm life in Midian, in order to be able to give Jews a perfect mitzvah, how much more so, right, to each and every one of us, when our mitzvahs are even more precious than the mitzvahs then, because we're living in the end of days. We're living right when the world is reaching its final, we have to finish up the last couple of little things. It's like the whole puzzle is finished. There's like one piece of the puzzle that has to be put in. So how much focus is there on that one piece of the puzzle? You ever work with the children and make a puzzle? So in the beginning, you're not so intense, and everybody's so involved in it. Why? Because you've got three pieces. You've got this huge 500-piece puzzle or 1,000-piece puzzle. But as the puzzle is finished, everybody, the momentum, everybody gets excited because you're getting down to the last one. Where's the last piece? Goes there. And you finish it. Because it's like finishing it. How intense is the excitement in heaven when each and every one of us is going to do a mitzvah? And God is in control of the world. He can turn everything, everything. He turns everything over every moment. And if we want to do a mitzvah, we will be able to do the mitzvah. And we should be assured and have confidence that Hashem is with us. He'll give us the strength to be able to do His will. May we all merit to do His will with simcha, with joy. And we're asking God to please not wait always for the last second, but to give us the ability to do it with a little bit kindness from beforehand, so that we know that we can do it with joy and with simcha. Everybody should have a good week. Yeah.